Blessing it is to be able to pour our heart out in song and just have a voice and know that King Jesus hears our heart as we sing today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Something neat about today, I think, and as we kind of conclude this series we've been looking at, remember we began in the desert, in the wilderness with Jesus, 40 days of temptation, and then those 40 days where Jesus was in the wilderness being prepared for his ministry that was about to be handed to him. At the conclusion of that 40-day period, the devil himself in the flesh shows up and begins to tempt Jesus with a lot of different things, very, very specific things that he was being tempted with. And the great thing about Jesus being tempted is that he gives us a wonderful example by which we should take hold of and use so that we begin to understand that we can also do battle with Satan. We're going to get to that in just a minute, but the week before last when I was here, talked with you about temptation and five ways to get out of the wilderness and to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then this morning, I want to talk with you specifically from Ephesians chapter 6, the standpoint of understanding that you have to prepare yourself every single day. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime preparation that you get involved with, but it's you donning the armor of God every single day. And today I want to talk with you about being dressed for battle. We're going to conclude this, and we're getting ready to enter into our Easter sermon series. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15. We're going to talk about the prodigal and finding your way home, because who doesn't want to come home to King Jesus? Who doesn't want to know that they're loved? And so we're going to begin that series next week, but this morning I want to talk with you about, there's a new video game. It's not new now, I don't guess, but it's called Call of Duty. How many of you guys, be honest, you can be honest in here, right? How many of you guys play that video game Call of Duty? Come on, lift them high. I want to see them. Don't be ashamed. Okay, all right. Billy, I wouldn't have thought you would have raised your hand. I figured you'd been a race car guy more than that Call of Duty guy. Joey, I knew you were going to raise your hand. I've tried, and I want you to understand, it's not because I didn't enjoy this game, Call of Duty. It's because my fingers and my thumbs don't work together the way they should in order to operate that controller. So I'll just leave it at that. I'm not coordinated enough. I'm not smart as you guys are. Right? That's really, I know you were thinking that. You were thinking that. But in this game, it's pretty neat because there are a lot of obstacles that are set up, and the idea is to kill the bad guys, I think, ultimately, right? And you have all of this equipment that you can put on. You have different guns that you can use, and it's tactical. You know, you really do have to think, well, where do I go here? What is the best position for me to be in order to be able to aim at the enemy and take them out? And you need to understand that, because I want you to know that the enemy is also trying to find the best place they can hide in order to sneak up on you so that you might be taken out. War is not something that is a game in real life, is it? It's real. It's something that where young men and women have gone off to join the military, and many have never made their way home. It wasn't because they weren't prepared. It wasn't because they didn't have the right gear. It wasn't because they didn't have the right guns or whatever it was they were using. War is not new. Been around a long time. Today, I want you to know that you and I are right in the thick, right in the middle of a war that exists. We see the media. We understand there are gangs fighting against gangs. You might get out of your car at a grocery store and someone sneak up behind you. There's a real, real war that you and I are engaged in every single day. Apart from what we see in the Middle East, today there's still real war. And it's a spiritual war. And we're going to talk about that specifically this morning. You see the garb that I have up here, the gear. This is old school, if you will. This is before gunpowder existed. This is a time when the slingshot was not very old, and then the slingshot become outdated, and then they began to put on armor such as this. And so today I want to share with you, there are really five things. I missed one, Miss Jerry, when I gave you that outline. There are five things that I'm going to share with you this morning as we get dressed for battle. Understand, just like you get up every morning and you put on your clothes before you go out the door, hopefully, right? You put on your clothes before you go out the door. You also have to be prepared spiritually in order that you may be able to stand against the ways of the devil. And it is my job as a pastor to share with you, to hopefully prayerfully, so that you can take these tools that you are given and you can apply them to yourself so that when you find yourself in the thick of things, you're prepared. You've got the gear. You're ready to take action. So with that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing in the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 14 through 18. So if you would, join me this morning. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Let me read this one again. And above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then he wraps it up. He concludes this section right here, even though it goes on a little bit further with a couple more verses. Listen, he says this, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So will you pray with me? Father in heaven, in the magnificent name of Jesus, today we approach your throne. Father, we pray right now that in the strong name of Jesus that you would bind Satan from our presence this morning. And Lord, that you would loose your spirit in such a way that you begin now speaking to our hearts. Father, help us see through your word what we need to do to be better prepared to stand against the ways of the wicked one. That in our lives, you and you alone would be honored and glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this section, Paul concludes, he says this, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Because, you know, a lot of times the reality is we try and do things with our own strength, our own abilities, our own, we, me, my. I can do this all by myself. I don't need help, right? I'm guilty of having done that many times in my life. But if we're going to learn what God requires of us, what God desires for us, then we have to understand that he never, ever, never, no, not one time ever desires that you go into battle alone. You get that? I need you to understand that before we can move on really into the rest of the meat of the message, so to speak. You got to understand God's desire is not for you to try and charge hell with a water pistol without going under the power and the conviction of the Spirit of God. You can't do it alone. You understand? Yes, preacher. I cannot do it alone. Say it. I can't do it alone. You got it. That's it. That's the first thing. You have to be able to get that as he says this. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the ways of the devil. I love that. So we do it under the strength of God, not our ability, but God's strength, God's ability. And we know that God has no inability in him, right? And because God has no inability in him, when we approach the gates of hell, so to speak, metaphorically, we've got everything we need. And so we're getting ready. I'm telling you, we're in the middle of a battle already. It's real. And it's something that you have to deal with on a daily basis. And so you put on the whole armor of God. And I don't want to dwell here too long, but what happens as believers, as Christ followers, is a lot of times we get up in the morning and we just put partial armor on, which means that somewhere you leave yourself open. Your flanks are exposed. Some way, somehow, you can be shot with one of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the scripture even tells us there that if we would cling to God and put on the armor of God, that we would be able to withstand all of the darts of the wicked one, the fiery darts of the wicked one. So, just trying to lay this foundation. It says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is why. Because in the flesh, we feel like we can conquer. In the flesh, we feel like we can do it. I know boxing. Cameron knows karate and several other different languages, I believe you know. But I know boxing, and that's English to me. Karate, I don't know how you pronounce it. But boxing is easy. B-O-X, three letters. I-N-G. All right, let's move on. And it's easy, okay, because it's one man against one man, and you put on gloves, and you're prepared, and you get the right stance, and you keep your elbows in. It's good. It's easy. It's okay. But you have to understand that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. I don't have to prepare to fight against you. I don't have to prepare to fight against Cameron. I'm thankful because he's already kicked me in the head once, and it hurt. So we don't have to prepare for one another. We have to prepare for the wicked one, for the liar, for the deceiver. We have to prepare for him. And so I never asked you to sit down. Did I? No, I'm kidding. No, I did. I asked you to sit down. See, I'm scatterbrained. But let me get back to verse 12 here. Cameraman, you got me messed up. I'm blaming it on you. All right. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. The rulers of the darkness of this age. So it's not in the light where you really need to worry, where you really need to stress. It's in the darkness. That's when the wicked one is going to present himself most often to you. The absence of the light. I'm talking about that spiritual light of God. It's when we're alone. It's when we're left with our own thoughts. It's when we don't have accountability partners. It's when we are not prepared completely, and so we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Those things that we've discussed over and over and over again. Spiritual warfare, even this morning in this building, because the word of God is going forth, and God's word says that his word will not return void. So you understand, with 200 of us in here this morning, as the gospel is being presented and the word of God is being propagated and going forward, that the devil is doing his work even in the hearts of individuals who've gathered together with us now. So you understand, we're not fighting each other now. We're sitting and we're listening and we're praying and we're praising. But the devil is doing something that you can't see, but he's at work harder than you can imagine over your hearts and over your souls. And so we're going to move on into the scripture this morning. You see the armor, the Roman legion this morning. And so there are five things that I want to submit to you, and I only have 13 minutes to do it. Not possible. I know you understand me well, but we're going to do the best we can. So number one is this. You have to, when you are putting on this gear, when you're dressing for battle, when you understand the call of duty, you understand that you have to prepare yourself in every way possible. And so number one is you prepare yourself with a belt. Belt of truth. Belt of truth. I have a belt on this morning. Thankful. I didn't get the belt this morning. The belt is very, very important. A belt is something that you use, and it holds kind of everything together. It's this centerpiece. And we're going to talk about this specifically for just a moment and understand the importance of what a belt really does and how it protects you. And number one, when we're talking about this, you got to see and understand this is what the scripture says. It says, stand therefore in verse 14. You got to stand. First of all, everybody stand up. You got to stand. You got to stand. Okay, you can sit down. But you got to stand. I just want to keep you awake. You need to hear this morning. Having girded your waist with truth. So I ask you this morning, and we talk about truth, what is truth? The Word. I need you to understand something. There's a lot of words out there, right? There's a lot. People talk, people say a lot of different things in the world that you and I live in. But you've got to understand there is absolute truth that exists. Absolute truth. When you look at me, you see, you know my name is Brad. That's absolutely true. But when someone else sees me, they might call me knucklehead. Or they might call me some other things. And so for them, the absolute truth is not that my name is Brad. I'm telling you, my name is Brad Allen Patterson. It's not Bradley. It's not Bradford. It's Brad. But when it comes to real absolute truth, where it cannot be shaken, it cannot be moved, you must understand today that it is the Word of God. And some of you are saying, well, I thought the sword of the Spirit was the Word of God. And I'm going to get to all of that because it is. We're talking about the belt of truth this morning and what it does. There's Logos, which is the written word, and I don't want to get too far into that. And then there's Rhema, which is the spoken word. And right now I'm talking about the written word, which is God's written word to us, our manual in order to be able to live our lives from front to back, God's spoken word, absolute truth. Amen? Absolute truth. And so you've got to have girded your waist with truth. And that is this belt of truth. Why? Because it protects us in two areas. It protects us from error. Protects us from error. Here's the important thing. This is really, really close to what a soldier would have worn. This, I don't know what it's called. It's almost like a house coat. This is really, really, really close to what they would have worn. Okay? It is short. And it is short for a purpose. And the reason you need a belt with this is because this goes on, then the belt goes, and the belt holds everything else together. And I need you to see this. It's important you understand that the belt protects you from error, because it is while you have this on that in the midst of battle, before they go into battle, they would take this as it hangs down, and they would pull it up, and they would tuck it in their belt so that it would keep them from stumbling as they run in to battle. It was never ever designed for a Roman soldier to retreat. Never, not one time. Josephus actually tells of a story where one Roman soldier began to retreat. And in the process of him retreating, he somehow slipped on some rocks and he hit his head and it killed him. If he would have gone into battle, he would have died in glory according to the Romans. But instead, he did not go into battle. He did not charge. He did not gird himself. Therefore, he was not protected. And when he began to retreat and go the other way, he simply tripped and hit a rock, and it killed him. So the Scripture tells us this. It's important. I want you to get this morning that John chapter 8, verse 32 says this. The Lord Jesus says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Then you'll know the truth. The truth is the Word of God. There's no way to avoid understanding. You've got to get it this morning. This is the Word of God. And the truth is what sets us free. What does it set us free from? Sin. It holds us accountable. It's something that we do focus on the inside. And so it protects us from error. But another thing is it holds everything together. I want to tell you something. I've got my belt on this morning, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but I want you to get this visual. These pants are just a little bit too tight for me, and if I didn't have my belt on, everything might not be held together. You get that, right? It's the same thing with this. They had their this thing on, whatever it's called. They had it on, and they had their belt. They girded themselves, but also something amazing about this belt is it held the sheath for the sword in a very real way, and it held it all together. It's right here. Everything's tucked in. I'm ready for battle. I can run if I need to run. I can charge if I need to charge. I have my battle. I'm ready. Can pull the sword out and begin to charge. So, real sword. Oh, not so real. But you get the idea. Pull it out of the sheath. You're ready for battle. So you begin to see that, and you begin to understand that, and you know, and that's what this is. This Word of God, it protects us from error, but it also holds everything together. You see that. This is the belt of truth. This is what protects us from error and what holds it all together, the written Word of God. We couldn't do it without the written Word of God. Amen? Or oh me. Number two is this, is the breastplate of righteousness. I want you to see this. It's important that you see this because it protects us on two fronts as well. So, I'm charging into battle. Looks good, doesn't it, ladies? Charging into battle. And with swords being thrown or arrows being shot, the goal is that it would reflect off. That's the hope. That's how this was designed. But I need to tell you something, because it's important that you get all of this truth. Not every soldier had one of these types of breastplates. As a matter of fact, mostly only the cavalry, or the special forces, if you will, had this. Most every other soldier had leather upon leather upon leather. It was braided together with little brass tacks that would almost just squished the layers of leather together. So not everyone was prepared to do battle equally. It wasn't the same for everyone. It's the exact same message for the church today. When we go into battle, everyone is not prepared the same. I'm telling you that because you need to understand this right here is going to deflect much more than that leather is. Depends on how thick the leather is, I'm sure. But there you have it, and you begin to see that, and that is the breastplate of righteousness. But the key here is righteousness. So if I were to ask you this simple question, how many of you this morning would claim to be righteous in the sight of God? Lift your hand if you believe you are righteous in the sight of God. Yeah, that's good. A few of you raised your hand. I like that a few of you think you're righteous. That's okay. It's good. So truth is, the rest of you were wrong. And those few that raised their hands are correct. See, in God's eyes, you are righteous. You're righteous before God. And so the Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 21, the Scripture says this, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Isn't that good? It's because of Jesus. He made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So let me ask you a question again. How many of you this morning are followers, are believers in the one and only Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Yeah, almost all hands then. So the next question is I ask again, how many of you would consider yourself righteous before God today? See, righteousness means a right standing before God. And none of us are able to stand before God without the covering of Jesus Christ. None of us. And so we're able to stand because of this covering, this breastplate of righteousness. Two things quickly I want to share with you. Number one is righteousness covers our hearts. This is kind of the innards, all everything that was vital, the vital organs, the heart, the kidneys, the liver, all of those other things, your intestines. And it would cover that. And the purpose of the covering was, again, in order that when the cavalry was charging and the arrows were flying and the swords were being swung, you had protection. I like protection, don't you? Protection is in Jesus. Amen? That's what the Scripture says. Very, very clearly, very, very plainly. We don't have to wonder what's being said here. It says this. It says that God the Father made God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We've talked about this before, but you understand what it does is it protects us. Here it is in a real world scenario. It protects us from the penalty of sin. Yeah. To be protected from the penalty of sin is a really, really good thing, to know that I am protected, and that ultimately what this is talking about this word again, talking about who God is and what he has done for us. Ultimately, because of my righteous standing before God, I'll never be separated from God. Amen? Oh, that's good news. That's wonderful news. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about you, but there's not a day that goes by where I don't act an idiot. As far as God's concerned, I'm an idiot, right? I sin. There's not a day that goes by where that doesn't happen. But even in the midst of my sin, see, because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when God looks at me, he doesn't see a knucklehead. He sees the covering of the blood of Jesus. And so the righteous covers our heart, but it also protects us from sin, which is the second thing that I have kind of already shared with you. And so 1 John 1:8. If you say that you have no sin, the truth is not in you. Remember, we talked about the truth just a second ago. If you have the truth in you, then the truth will do what? Set you free. And we get that, and we see that, and now we see here in 1 John 1, it says this, that if you say you have no sin, how many of you testified that there's no sin in you this morning? Come on, I want you to raise your hand. I'm not doing that, preacher, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I'm a sinner. Right? So there's some of us maybe that think that. There was probably a time in my life where I thought that. But the scripture goes on and it says this, that if you say that you have no sin, that the truth is not in you and you deceive yourself. Then it says, these things have I written unto you that you may not sin. These things that I've written, logos, written word, the written, this part, this written word. So there's that breastplate of righteousness. And then we've got to continue to move on because we've got this belt and it protects us from error and it holds everything together. And we've got this breastplate of righteousness. You understand it covers our heart, but also it protects us from sin. We see that this morning through the scripture. Amen? Next thing, number three, is this. And there's boots of peace. And we didn't get the boots out this morning. And that's okay because I've got boots on. And I want to show you something with these boots. It's important that you be able to see this. Now, don't get scared, Joey. Don't let this scare you. But I'm going to take this off for a second, okay? All right. It's okay. Don't go to the back of the sanctuary. I do have on clean socks. They're clean. All right, but I want you to see this. I'm going to come closer, okay? So, got a limp now. So in Roman day, they would wear sandals, and these sandals would have straps on them that would go all the way up to their knee. Really, 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 really. And these sandals, it was amazing because the Roman soldier sandals were different than the sandals that you and I would wear around every day. You know, a regular sandal would have just a layer of leather on it. It would have a strap between the toe, and it would go up to about the ankle. True. Okay? And you would go, and you would walk, and you would keep your feet protected from the rocks that were in the way. Now, for the Roman soldier, it would be leather, and then it would be another piece of leather, and then there would be another piece of leather, and between that piece of leather and another piece of leather, there would actually be steel, metal, that would come through in shards. It was very, very specific purpose for this, and they would make it about three pieces of leather thick, then they would put it on there, then there would be one more piece of leather that would hold that either glass or some kind of mangled metal together. Now, why do you think it was different for them? If you know anything about sports, I want to share this. Because in baseball, they wear cleats. You get the idea, right? In baseball, why do they have cleats on? To grip, so that they don't slip when they're running the bases, so that they don't slip when they're out there in the outfield and they're running to make a catch. It's to get traction. That's the very reason. And so you understand that the boots of peace are so, so important. And they were created in such a way that a soldier could not retreat. Shared that with you a little bit while ago. They were made for charging. They were made to be able to, Scripture says this, and remember I already shared you with, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the ways of the devil. Stand three times in this section right here from verse 10 to verse 18. Three times it says stand or stand firm. And it's important that you get that as a believer, that you don't just stand with your feet together, with slippery shoes on. You stand in such a way that you are ready for battle. You're ready to engage. There is a fighting stance that is vitally important for your success. And the equipment is important that you have on. And so we see the scripture. It says he's girded his waist with truth. He's got the blessed parade of righteousness. And then verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. See, it's important that you see this, because the gospel in this section, what does it mean? Good news. So the good news brings peace. That's what this is all about, this written word. Within the pages of these leather things that hold my book together is the written word of God. It's that logos I've shared with you. I've told you, remember that. And then what I am sharing is Rhema. It is the spoken word of God. R-H-E-M-A. Spoken word. They are distinct and they are different, but they are powerful together. And we see that. You have these boots of peace. And so the application I've already shared with you about these boots, and number one is this, that they are to deliver us from instability. What it's about is delivering us from instability. And so Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. Peace. I love peace. Amen? It's great to have a quieted, calm soul, a spirit that's not agitated or fighting against itself, because a lot of times we do. Our spirit fights against our spirit or our flesh. But this peace is something that is a gift from heaven. It's a gift from God, and these boots of peace are important when we go into battle, because they deliver us from instability. It says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So get this, the gospel, the good news, it's this peace. This peace that allows you to stand firm right in the thick of things. Peace allows you to stand firm right in the thick of things. We got to move on, because it's also, it supports us as we walk. Giving you a little bit of background, you got to understand they were never these shoes. They were never designed to run in. They were never designed to retreat. They were made for attack. And what this means as a believer is that we never turn back. We never stop. Never, ever. Listen to me. As a follower of Jesus, you never, ever, ever get discouraged in Jesus and stop following him. And some are guilty. We've seen it. We get discouraged. We get fed up. We get mad at the church or at our neighbor. And then we stop attending church. And that's the first step. And then we begin the process of backsliding. And then we begin the process of continued backsliding. And that's the reason that Hebrews 10 is so important, where it says not to forsake the gathering of yourselves together. So we meet and we gather together, and we gather together to worship God through song and prayer and then the teaching of his word. And it's so important, because it's also an accountability factor when we gather together as believers. Accountability factor. And so they support us when we walk. I'm walking forward. I'm moving forward. Why? Because the enemy is out there. So I've got the boots of peace on, and I'm ready to engage. I'm ready. I've got the breastplate of righteousness. I've got the belt of truth. And I've got the helmet of salvation. Oh, so important. Amen? The helmet of salvation. Why is this helmet called the helmet of salvation, as the scripture says right here? Why is it that we've got this and we see that? This is pretty cool too. Because not every Roman soldier would have had one of these. Because they're equipped differently. Right? This was for the Calvary. This was for the Roman soldier who was on the horse, or this was for the special forces Roman soldier. Was not for the everyday soldier. And they would have been able to have this, but they also would have had a leather helmet on their head, and then they would have put this on over the leather helmet. And so they were doubly protected. Well, they'd have to have a leather helmet because this thing here is really, really big. And if I just walk around with this on, I'm going to fall and trip because I won't be able to see anything. But you see how important it is. And it protects the ears. It protects the side of the neck. It protects the back of the neck. All of these things, this is pretty accurate as far as what a legion would have on, what garb they would wear. If you were a part of the cavalry or the special forces, they would have one of those. But for everybody else, they would have strips of leather that had been formed into a helmet. Three or four pieces. And you know, how many of you guys know, you remember old school football helmets? How many of you guys remember that? You know, those old school football helmets are pretty impressive when those guys start playing football without anything on at all, right? So you play a football with nothing, just kind of backyard rumble, and you're out there and you're having a great time. But then all of a sudden, because you don't have your head protected, somebody else comes, they're knuckleheads, and they dive trying to tackle you. And then their head hits your head without protection on it. Can I just say, ow? It hurts. You need protection, and it's important that you see this protection. What does it do, this helmet of salvation? Here it is. Protects us from doubt. Protects us from doubt. Acts chapter 4 verse 12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is only one Savior whose name is Jesus. There is no other, and the world would tell you otherwise. Doubt creeps in. You know, I think Jesus is good, but I think my religion, or I think my group of people, I think we just, but we're good. You know, we do service out in the community. I don't think you have to be exclusive to Jesus, or he has to be exclusive as God. And I want to tell you something. God did not make it difficult, did he? No, because there's all of these options, and God said there's one. And one day, I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen. It's coming very soon, where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the scripture to that says every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it protects us from doubt. Two kinds of doubt. Here it is. I know I'm saved. How many of you here this morning say, I know I'm saved, preacher? Amen. I've talked to a lot of people in the ministry over the years, and I want to tell you, most of the time when I'm talking to people that are not really grounded biblically, they're kind of wishy-washy when I say, well, tell me, who is Jesus to you? And then, you know, do you know that you're saved most of the time? They say, well, I hope so. And my hope is firmly grounded in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the scripture says, because of Jesus, that no man will be able to separate me from the Father. No man will be able to pluck me out of my Father's hands. Nobody can do that. No one is capable. And then Romans 8, and we're not going to get into all that. It's a different message this morning because it's important that you get it all. So it protects us from doubt. So I know I'm saved, or I think I'm saved. Friends, I want to tell you something. I want you this morning to know you're saved. Last thing that I need to share with you this morning is there is the sword of the Spirit. See, the sword of the Spirit is important. We see that right here at the end of verse 17. And I like this. I think it's important that we get this. It says that there's this helmet of salvation. There is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And here it is. This is talking about the spoken Word of God. Because a lot of times in our relationship with God, we read and we internalize and we try and see, okay, how does this apply to my life? And it's all written Word, and we've never really verbalized it. And because we've not verbalized it, honestly, it doesn't really take effect. The devil can't hear your thoughts, friends. But I'm going to tell you something. He's just close enough where if you'll say it out loud, he can hear it. And it's when you say it out loud that he begins to internalize it. And when he begins to internalize it, you remember when King Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted at the end of those 40 days? At the end of those 40 days, you know, he was fasting, he was praying, he was really preparing himself. And then Satan shows up and he talks to him verbally. He talks to him with words. He talks to him with his mouth. That's what he does. And Jesus responds every time. And he talks about the word of God and he speaks it to the devil. And at the end of those three challenges, those three tests, those three temptations from the devil, at the end of that, the scripture says, and he leaves until he finds another opportunity. He leaves. You know why? Because Jesus spoke the word of God. He spoke it. He spoke it. He spoke it. He wasn't trying to keep it in. He was getting it out. What do you got to do, friends? You got to be able to speak the word of God. It can't be, get behind me, Satan. Don't be scared. We're worried. And so this is what the sword of the Spirit does. I like this. The sword. It's got a nice sound, ring to it. The sword of the Spirit. It allows you to go on the attack. If I got a sword in my hand, I'm going to tell you something. I'm much less scared to charge you with you not having a sword in your hand. Right? Because you don't have a weapon. Now, there's a bunch of you, and if you come after me, I'm running out the back door. But if there's just one or two of you, I'm swinging these. I can come on the attack. No, I'm not running because remember I shared with you, there's no retreat for a child of God. So here it is. Got my boots on. I've got the belt of truth on. I've got the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is, what the scripture say? The word of God. So we see there's logos. Then there's Rhema, the spoken word of God. And so I love that. You got to be able to see that. And the entire written word is what? Logos. And it's wonderful from front to back. The entire written word. That's what this is. It's a treasure that you have in your hands. And it's alive, the scripture tells us. Amen? Talks of logos as being alive. In Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. The thing about a double-edged sword is what this is. And I'm wrapping this up, guys. Is that it cuts two ways. Going in and coming out. You need to be able to see that. This is the power of the word of God. It's that sharp. It's that powerful. It works that well. And so this Rhema, it's specific. It's personal. It's spoken. And it's used to defend and defeat the enemy. And it's what my Jesus used. And he's given it to you and he's given it to me so that we would have it at our disposal. And so as we begin to close, and we're wrapping this series up, 40 days of temptation, you know we've gone on a journey, right? 40 days. Some of you said, yeah, I want to go on this journey. I'm going to tell you something. Since I've gone on this journey, this 40-day journey, I've had some ups and I've had some downs. Just being honest. And then we learned that next week, kind of followed that up with ways to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And really, we looked at five things that we can do. And one of those, I think, is important that we remember, and it's not be afraid to run from temptation. And so we see this morning, as wasn't here last week to finish this up, but I'm here this morning, and now we begin to see that it's time for us to get dressed for battle. We're playing these video games and it's easy because we don't have to worry about getting hurt. We lose life. We see blood splattered here, blood splattered there, maybe a limb fall off. We see these things, but we know that it's not real. and there are men and women who are fighting a war real every day, and they run over a mine, and their car blows up, or they're hit by some missile, and so many different ways for them to be physically maimed in real war. And we saw from the scripture this morning that you and I are not wrestling against flesh and blood. And from that perspective, you begin to see that God calls us today and every day to put on the full armor of God. So I want to ask you, why do you wake up occasionally and only take the shield of faith? Or why do you wake up occasionally and only take the breastplate of righteousness? Or why do you wake up occasionally and only take the helmet of salvation? Why is it that when you get up as a child of God every single day, you do not sit down and get the armor out and begin to place it on your body, symbolically speaking? Why do you not say, Lord, today I'm going to be dressed with the armor of God. I don't want just some of it. I don't want just the boots of peace. I want every single bit of it. I want all of it, because I know that when I head out these doors this morning, that the devil is going to pounce. I'm going to tell you, he starts when you wake up. He doesn't wait until you get out the door. So you get started immediately. And there you have it. We gather here as a body of believers. We have the word preached. We hear it as it goes forth. Scripture says it's not going to return void. And I'm telling you today, I know that some of us have failed because we've not put on the armor of God. And when you don't do it, you know, the reason that we put it on is because it allows us to avoid all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. Didn't say some of them, friends. It said all of them. But you've got to understand that you've got to put all of the armor of God on. So this morning, we're fixing to have an invitation. And I want to ask you, I don't know what God's burdening you with. I don't know what your struggles or your temptations are. But I can tell you that there have been times when I've only put on some of the armor. There are times when I've only put on one piece, maybe two. But God tells us to put it all on. And so maybe you're here this morning, you're being burdened, and you realize that today you've learned a valuable lesson. And if I'm going to be able to stand against the ways of the devil, that you've got to put it all on. So we're going to have an invitation. And I don't know what God's laying on your heart. But I want to tell you, just like God doesn't expect you to just put on part of the armor of God, he also doesn't expect you to just give him half your heart this morning. So during our invitation this morning, what is God laying on your heart? What decision do you need to make? Maybe you need to pray for strength. I shared a scripture with you that talked about strength. Maybe you need to pray for courage. Maybe you need to pray for wisdom. Scripture tells us in James to ask. What do you need to ask God for this morning? Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Oh, before you can put on the armor of God, you've got to put on the one who created it. And you've got to take Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So maybe you're here this morning and God's been speaking to you a little bit, and you realize today that you can know that you're saved and you don't have to think you're saved anymore. Today. We pray with me. Father in heaven, in the matchless mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come before your throne of grace. And Lord, I know it was a lot to get out this morning. I needed to get it all because of the next week's series. But Lord, it's so impactful. And Father, when we see how real your word is, it becomes alive to us. It is more than just words on a page. And Lord, I know that the words on a page are important. Words on a page are equip me to be able to speak the written word. And Lord, when we speak the written word, it allows us to go on the attack. Father, we're always moving backwards, it seems, with our shield, our breastplate, and our helmet of salvation. We're moving, but we're moving in the wrong direction. Give us the strength and the wisdom today to know that it's time for us to move forward with you. Lord, whatever decisions need to be made today, Lord, we make it to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You come this morning. I want to ask you to stand. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, would you come this morning?